America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence, back. Lawrence looks, firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted the Kobe Dean! He picks it off from the end zone. No flags! The Eagles are going to escape!
He's going for it, the Ernest Johnson. Down the left side, N'Kobe Dean, sticky coverage, as I just mentioned, and N'Kobe Dean pulls it away from Johnson.
N'Kobe Dean saved the game!
That's so loud this morning.
Darn right! He's pounded down. All right, welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yeah, we'll see if Reese banded them. You know who we are? We are 6-2 right now. Good morning, everybody. The Eagles, I love the word Merrill used there yesterday. I loved it because that was an escape to be up 22-0 and to have it end the way it did. Woo! A victory for the Eagles. They are 6-2, 215-592-9494. Boy, do we have a lot to unpack today. The good and the not-so-good of a victory yesterday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Merrill will join us at 11, Howard Eskin at 12. We'll get to some of the other extracurriculars around town this weekend, or around, you know, the area, and a lot of our stars here. But, Hugh, we start off with an Eagles victory. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. Somebody was drinking the perfume a little bit. Somebody was drinking a little bit of that perfume.
You know, I kind of have an idea of who was drinking the perfume. We will get to that. All right, let's start with the good. Obviously, a win. They're 6-2 now. Jalen Hurts played well. Devontae Smith, incredible catch back in the end zone. Saquon Barkley, I mean, we're making a real surge now for Offensive Player of the Year. This guy has been unbelievable. And the defense, Hugh Douglas, that matters. It matters a lot.
Yeah, they played pretty decent yesterday.
Oh, they had a really,
they played pretty decent.
I thought they played
gave
really
23
well.
23 points, though.
No, no, come on. The Jaguars defense scored six of 20, those 20, points. Stop.
Hey, no, 20,
stop.
Listen,
it was more
points,
like 15.
Yeah, come on now.
23 points is 23 points.
No, fumble recovery.
No, listen.
Let's stay on the good. The defense played pretty well the whole game.
Y'all coming at my beer.
The whole thing. They had two interceptions by linebackers in the same game.
No, they played. They played well.
They did a good job.
They went downhill.
They did a lot good. And then, of course, there was the mind-numbing throughout that made the game closer. Hugh, how are you feeling this morning? Because, you know, there's a couple different ways to look at this football game. One is you look at the box score and you see them go up 22-0. And you feel like they dominated. In a lot of ways, they did dominate. Yet, it took a N'Kobe Dean interception to stave off. And I want to make this clear what I'm about to say. It would have been, by points, the second biggest blown lead for a loss in franchise history.
Like, yeah.
We were this close to a disaster, yet they did win the game, Hugh.
Yeah, it was one of those games where, as a former player, you always say a win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it was a lot going on because I had the pleasure of driving home when the Jacksonville Jaguars scored those two touchdowns back-to-back the way that they did. And I was hearing it, and the level of concern in Merrill and Mike's voice when they scored as quickly as they did, it was like you said, it was mind-numbing. But like I said, a win is a win. The trip is still on for Louisiana. I'm still a part of that. I'm still excited about that. But we have to clean up the mistakes that we're making. And we have to put this team in better position to be successful, in my opinion. Not complaining, but it's one of those things in football, and I was trying to explain this morning, that You know, LeSean McCoy went into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that he said that stuck out to me was that even when he would have good games, Deuce Staley would always talk about, yeah, but that was soft. You did this or you did that wrong and stuff like that. That's how it is in professional football. You know, I think Lane even said it best. Like, you left 9 points on the field or something like that, 40 points or something. You should have blew this team out yesterday because they're not a good football team. That was the consensus. And we got the win, no question about it. But there's a lot that we need to clean up and moving forward.
Well, there's no question about that. And specifically for me, it's on the sideline. The more we watch this team, the more I'm impressed with the talent. Like, they're coming together here talent-wise. Yeah, the offense is coming together. They moved the football well over 400 yards. Just they ran it for over 200 yards. Jalen Hurts has now gone 4 straight games without an interception. His passer rating has been remarkable week in, week out. This offense is really coming together with the weapons they have. And even with, you know, down an offensive lineman, they're playing well. And defensively, I doubted how good they could be defensively. But they're good. I mean, this I feel great about where this defense is. And this is the best linebacker play we've had around here since the Super Bowl season. The D-backs, the young D-backs, can really play.
Yeah.
And they're getting enough rush. I think Josh Sweat's playing better. I mean, player for player, I'm starting to feel really good about where this is going. My concern and why it's hard for me to get super like, yeah, they're 6-2, they won again. The head coach. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he took 9 points off the board yesterday.
Yeah.
9.
Some decision making.
9.
Leaves you scratching your head. But again, like I said, you won. And these are the type of games where you go back and you look at the mistakes that are made and you try to correct those. Because now, even though, you know, when you look at the teams that we have playing, defenses are suspect. You don't want – you want to – put yourself in the best possible position to be successful. And the fact that we don't know what's going on with AJ. I heard his knee isn't as bad. It's not as bad. He's getting an MRI today, but still.
But he's probably
out for probably going to be out for an extended period of time.
That's what I was thinking. If not, terrible news on AJ.
Who's the Jahan Dotson sighting yesterday?
He made a catch, which was great. Look, a lot of players made big plays yesterday. They got a ton. I mean, N'Kobe with the interception late.
Yeah.
Oh, what a catch by Devontae late in the game for the touchdown to put him up 28-16. I keep coming back to this. If Nick Sirianni just gets out of the way, this team could go places. And I think, and we did this show last week talking about Nick, and we're too hard on him. He does do some things well. He does. He, you know, in terms of the players like playing for him, in terms of week to week, they've gotten better. These are all things he deserves credit for. But this in-game decision-making, it's gone. It's become a liability. It's become every week I wonder how he's going to affect the game in a negative way. That game should have never been close enough for the Jaguars to go come back in. Hugh, I think he sometimes outsmarts himself where he's like, well, I missed it here. I got to go. Hugh, we joke with you because you're hitting your bets now when you make your bets.
Man, I hit the ones.
Well, you know what? Here's the worst thing you could do as a gambler. You know what the worst thing you could do is? Mm-hmm. Chase. You know, you ever do that, Hugh?
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't keep doing that. Like, you start off, you lose 3 or 4 bets. Like, well, the Sunday night game's on tonight. I'm putting it all on this so I get back to even. Well, you lose that too, and then you're down. And that was yesterday. I felt like I was watching a gambler chasing on a Sunday. A couple things went wrong, and he just kept going at it. I go through some of these decisions. The two decisions to not kick field goals were remarkably bad. Going for the tush push, which is not as effective anymore. Not working anymore to the level it did last year. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then late in the game, they're up 5, and that's a spot you go for it. Because, you know, if you miss the field goal there, you're giving them possession on the midway part of the field. Even if you get the field goal, you're only up 1 score. I just thought yesterday, Hugh, every decision was like, what is he doing? Like,
yeah.
It just felt, keep it simple. If you just keep taking the points against a bad Jaguars team, they're probably not good enough to catch up.
Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of got me, because we were sitting there the first time they tried to kick, do the 2-point conversion. I didn't understand why.
At 16-0.
At 16-0. Because we were on the field at that point.
Yep.
And it was me, Brian, and Brian Dawkins, and Brian Westbrook. We were sitting there. And for the life of me, I didn't understand that. And I remember Brian trying to explain analytics to me in a brief moment that we were sitting there. And he said, have you ever seen the printouts for the analytics? I was like, no. He said, man, they're really, really thick. And he said, I'm assuming in that situation that it tells them to go for 2.
I'm sure it does.
You know, and I was like, well, they haven't scored. Take the 1. Just take the points. Just take the points however you can get them. Just take the points. And we didn't get them. And it was not a big deal. But at the same time, you're thinking, "What? Damn, why don't we just take the points?" For the life of me, and I guess I'm not supposed to. I'm not going to understand analytics in that moment telling you that the best idea is to go for two.
Yeah, I get it, and they've done it before with success. I just keep watching this and keep waiting for it to destroy a game. And it almost did yesterday. Luckily, the players stood up and play well enough to win that game. 215-592-9494. Kyle, where are you feeling today? 28-23. Nakobe makes the play at the end. Happy with the win or annoyed that that game even got close?
I'm definitely very happy with the win. The Sirianni stuff, I get why people are a little bit annoyed. I don't agree with. I think there's two decisions in that game that I just outright would not have done if I'm Nick Sirianni.
Downs.
Yeah, the fourth down, I think there was a chance to go up two scores and make it just kick a field goal and have a 9-point lead, and then I think it's an entirely different game. But I think the Eagles played a lot better than what that score indicated, and I have way more positive takeaways than I do negative takeaways. The defense played great yet again. I mean, I know the final score says 23 points, but they only allowed 15 points as a defense. The Saquon fumble really should have never even been a fumble. The game shouldn't have been as close as it was. I thought Jalen Hurts played another great game. I mean, he wasn't turning the ball over. That bomb to Devontae was one of the best throws and catches I've seen an Eagle make in a long time, and Saquon's just ridiculous yet again. Like, I think overall, this is still arrow pointing up for this Eagles team. It might not be, you know, as up as it was the last 3 weeks, but, like, it doesn't feel like a step back to me with the way that this game went. Like, the Eagles should have dominated. Jaguars. It just got a little hairy at the end, yes, because of some of the decisions that the coach made, but ultimately, I still feel like this is an awesome game to be an Eagles fan for.
215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the game? Happy they won, annoyed with Sirianni. I mean, it's amazing we're there. I agree with a lot of what Kyle said. They did dominate. I mean, you look at the box score. They had more than 200 more yards. They ran for over 200.
They threw for 16 and ran for 16. Like, that was in the first half or something.
The Eagles, the players dominated the game. The concern is that the head coach let this thing become close. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the game yesterday? Happy with the way the players played or annoyed with the head coach? 215-592-9494. On the other side, we'll dive more into the decision-making, what Sirianni said after the game, and a montage of the best moments, including a remarkable play by Saquon Barkley. That's the next Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back Midday Show, Nick Song. He's probably listening to it, driving in today as everyone's ripping him. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to yesterday, more happy with the win. And I do think the players, for the most part, played really well. I mean, Saquon Barkley
has been amazing.
He had the fumble yesterday, which you can't do, but for the most...
We won. If it had been bad, we lost.
But Hugh, I'd say most of these games you watch him, you're just like, oh my goodness, this guy's in a different planet.
Let me tell you what Saquon Barkley has done in, what's that, eight games?
Eight games, yeah.
As an Eagle?
Mm-hmm.
He has become an all-time Eagle in eight games, just that quick. He is a much better running back here. I think in his whole time with the Giants, he had like three or four 100-yard games, not probably that many. Over 100-yard games.
Well, the remarkable part is how many in a row he's having. He's averaging 5.9 yards a carry this season.
He is so much better here than he is. ever was with the Giants.
Well, he's rejuvenated. He's been great. We'll get to a lot of Saquon today. And again, I'm impressed with the players. The players, and especially on defense, these guys are coming along now. Nakobe and Bond and Coop. I mean, they're making play after play. The issue is the head coach let that game become close again. Let's hear from Sirianni after the game. Nick Sirianni on balancing that aggression. And we know he wants to be aggressive, but there's that fine line between aggressiveness and stupidity, and I think we found it yesterday.
Yeah, you know, we've done pretty good at those in the past, and so you always think about everything. You think about who you have. You think about your past experiences with it. You always look at the analytics of it, and we've been pretty good on those. Today they did a good job, and so I'll look at everything. But everything in the moment, I'm always doing what I think is best for the football team, and. Today it didn't work, but, you know, that's the way it goes. That's the hat I have to wear, right? When we get a fourth down and we convert a fourth down, you know, we're not, you know, it's nothing's really said. When we don't, I understand that there's going to be questions. But again, I have to be able to have the balls to do that, really, at the end of the day and say, am I doing everything I can do to help us win the game? And then those moments I thought I was, but I'll go back and relook at them. I'm always going to be hypercritical of myself.
So here's what strikes me when I hear him talk like that. Anyone, you mentioned, Hugh, the book of analytics they have or the stack of papers he has. He has the numbers and the data in front of him. Anyone can read that and say, the data says I should go for it, right? Like when they get the penalties and they're on the 1 yard line versus the two, anyone could do that. Like, literally anyone listening right now could be told, this is probably a time you should go and just say, go for it. You got to have a feel.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think his feel is off. Like, you're playing the Lions. You're playing the Bills. You got to score every point possible to win that game because you know they're really good on offense. You know they have big-time quarterbacks. You're playing the Jaguars yesterday. Their quarterback isn't any good. Their team is half ready to quit. Like, yesterday's a day he would just take a field goal, right? Just take the points, get up three or four scores because they can't score three or four times. It feels like he overcomplicates, like, well, I'm supposed to go for it. No, you don't have to. You don't have to go for it. You could just take this simple route and keep them away from the game. It almost felt like he breathed life into the Jaguars yesterday.
Yeah. I for the life of me, I didn't understand the purpose of the two-point conversion in that moment when you could just kick the field goal. You got a hell of a field goal kicker on the squad. Just let him kick it. I didn't understand that. But again, like I said, the game is full of analytics now. And I guess analytics told them in that moment that you should go for two to put the score at a 2-point score, whatever the possession.
I'm sure it did, but yeah. That's his job, is to make those calls. Like, you could be guided a certain way, but he could say, you know what, here today against this team, we're going to take the simple way. Let's hear Jalen Hurts after the game talking about the things they need to clean up situationally.
I think situationally we could have been better. I think we could have executed better in some situations, handled some situations a little better. But, you know, I just can't get off of Nakobe and the play he made at the end of the game. It's a hell of a play, a big-time moment, you know, and my perspective, it's, you know, you're kind of gearing and you're trying to be prepared. You're playing the next play, and you want to be ready for the guys out there. And it was a tough one. We had to dig deep.
I thought Jalen Hurts showed some growth there. He kind of stopped himself, Hugh, because he's talking about being better situationally. I mean, that he was leading down the path of they got to make better decisions as a team. And he kind of stopped himself, and then he spun it to the positive with Nakobe. I felt listening to Jalen yesterday, he was thinking, hey, we need to be a little smarter in how we approach the game.
And listen, let me just share something with everybody. That's how everybody, especially the guys that play here in this city, and we know the standard that's set for this city. That's how all of us are hardwired. When I tell you, everybody on the sideline that I used to play with, when we saw certain things starting to unfold, we were asking, like, what's going on here? What's this? And you try to give the current coaching staff and the players grace because, again, it's a different game. It's changed a little bit from the time that we played. But at the same time, certain rules still apply. And in certain moments, when you're leaving points on the board, even though Jacksonville is not a good football team, you could have executed a lot better. And the players know that. The players know that, and they felt that, and they're echoing that, because the ultimate goal is to get to Louisiana. At the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to get to Louisiana. And I think these fans are smart and savvy enough to know that that effort yesterday, even though it got us a win, probably not going to be good enough to get us a win in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the effort would have been. I think the coaching is not good enough. I'm actually, the more we go on, the more impressed I am with the roster, the team. Like, they're looking good. They figured some things out on offense and defense to where I'm excited about this season. It's the coach that I'm just afraid is going to get in the way. And he means the best. It's just... He tries too hard sometimes.
Try hard.
Just relax.
It's the one coach, not the coaching. Because no, yes. Vic Fangio, I think, has done an outstanding job with this defense so far. And the offense figuring out Andre Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts looks comfortable now. Throwing the ball all over the field. Chuck in Mount Airy is up as we discuss a weird but good victory yesterday. Hey, Chuck.
Hugh, what's up, Hugh?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Joe, listen. What was this aggressiveness 2 years ago when we were in the Super Bowl? We probably had a championship by now if he was this aggressive in that game. You know what I mean? Listen, the fact of the matter is this, right? The offense, the talent on offense supersedes, you know, anything that the coach is doing right now. You know, and it's always been that way. This is nothing new. This is why, you know, last week I was telling you, Joe, you're going on your apology tour too early when it comes to this guy. Now, this guy is going to he's going to cost us, man, if he don't get out the way of what he's doing. And I'm not saying don't be a coach of the football team, but you're costing us more than you're helping us. You know, the defense have gotten it together. The offense has gotten it together. The talent is starting to show and blossom on this team, and you're still the X factor that's keeping us from being where we need to be to compete against Detroit later on in the year. You know what I mean? And the thing about it is this, right? When I look at this team and I look at this roster and the way it's constructed, I think we have a good enough team to make it to the Super Bowl, but I just don't trust this head coach, man. And it's always been this way. You know, this guy is going to cost us in a big way. And my hat's off to Vic Fangio, too, with the defense. I knew he would get it together. But the only way this guy won't cost us is if Howie sits him down, somebody sits him down and say, listen, man, you're acting like a maniac out there, what you're doing. You know, some of the things that just don't make any sense. There's no rhyme or reason to do the things that you're doing.
No, he's got to read the room. Like, yeah, his analytics sheet might say this is the spot we go for it. But when AJ goes out of the game, why are you going for fourth downs when you kick a field goal and go up two scores? Like, you don't have AJ out there. And the tush push, Chuck, they got to realize at some point it's not quite as effective as it was last year. So it's not as automatic. I think last year was like 95%. This year it's like 78%. It works a lot, but not every time.
Joe, I totally agree with you, Joe, but my opinion is they do it too much. This offense is powerful. It's with AJ out there in full strength. They high-powered, man. I think they shortchanged themselves with that push, throwing it on third downs, you know, things that they've been having. A crucial fourth down or goal line situation, I get it. But to continue to do it on third downs, you're shortchanging yourself because now you're taking a big play away from yourself. You know what I mean? Because now you're just going for the first down. I mean, you know, when you could strike and possibly get a big play and score a touchdown there. What I'm trying to say is this, right? This team is good enough to get to the Super Bowl. I'm convinced of that. But with this head coach, man, I don't know what he's trying to prove. Somebody need to have a talk with him and let him know, listen, you're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, not the Chiefs, not the Detroit Lions, not Buffalo, none of those other teams that can score at will, and it's not a playoff game. Take the points, man.
Yeah, and that's Chuck, you said it right. That's it. There's a time and a place. And Chuck, good phone call. Hugh, there's a time and a place where you might be in a shootout, and you got to get every point you could possibly get because you know the other team's going to get to 28 or 30. Yesterday, at halftime of that game, the Jaguars had 32 yards. It was clear to anyone with eyes the Jaguars were not good enough to score four different possessions against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They just weren't. So if you just keep taking what's in front of you, like the point or the three or whatever,
just get out of there with a win,
then they can't catch up. Like, yeah, just they don't have enough time. They don't have enough players. They don't have the quarterback. It just felt like when the Eagles kind of left all those points out there and it was only 22, and then they score the touchdown, right? It's 22-8, and then they have the fumble recovery. You're like, holy moly, this is a game.
The worm turned very, very quickly. It turned very, very quickly. And that's the thing that causes concern, because then you're even still making decisions where the kick, Jake Elliott kick, when it was like 56 yards or something like that.
So that's at the end when they're up five, and he tries to go up eight, but that was a tough kick because the kicker hadn't done anything the whole game.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. Kickers need time to get in a rhythm. They're out there kicking before the game and everything like that. And if you're not using them, and then to ask him in that moment to do that, that's a little tough.
It is challenging. 215-592-9494. Let's go grab Black Gritty, and then we'll let you hear the montage of the best moments yesterday. And there were a lot of good ones by the players. Black Gritty's up. Hey, Black Gritty.
Guys, Saquon, a booty hop somebody moonwalking out here. Smitty caught this dive in the back. Jalen Hurts is killing it. Nakobe got interceptions. All these turnovers. I mean, Dotson caught a ball. Like, it almost made it worth it, Howie. You almost made it worth it for that pick, for that one catch. And all we care about is the guy with emotional intelligence. It looks like emotional incompetence. Like, that first tush-push, okay, I get it. But the second one, your quarterback goes in the end zone, lands on his head, your lineman gets cut and has to go in the blue tent, and your dumb self still thinks that you're going to go for the tush-push when you're already down lineman. That's the problem with the tush-push. Tush-push is fine. But when you're down two and three lineman, maybe run something else or take the points and don't take points off the board. It's absolutely maddening to think of this dude as an intelligent human being. And I don't like calling people stupid. I sound stupid yelling at the radio all the time. I know. But my goodness, bro. Take the points. You send a cold kicker out there because you think that you're just big and bad. It was a trap game. You know what a trap game is for? That booby trap head coach. He's the one that fell into the trap. Everybody else is out there doing their job. 22-0. When Doug had to go for two, you know why? Because he's down 22-0. And they went out there, got a QB sneak, didn't have to push nobody. They had two passing plays on CJ DJ who can't stop nobody. They went after Rodgers all day, so I guess I need mid-play slay back. Quinyon the Don can shut down anybody. He's the new Revis Island. I got all this stuff to be happy for, but I have one of the dumbest coaches in the world. And it didn't hurt us because we went up against a mediocre team. You go up against the average team and you lose that game. And it sucks to have to feel that way. Nakobe Dean saved this man's life. Balls? How about brains? How about you get some brains, Nick? Ooh, we won. George W., so happy. Saquon, booty hopping. It was amazing. I'll talk to you guys. Have a great day.
There he goes, Black Gritty. All right, speaking of Saquon and Nakobe, let's hear the best moments of yesterday's 28-23 victory, the Merrill montage after the Eagles get to 6-2.
Here is the punt by Braden Mann. It is a wobbler coming up, taking it as Trammell. He's hit. He fumbles, and I think the Eagles have it. Back goes Hurts. He is floating it for Barkley, who catches it for a touchdown.
This is a difficult catch, but he makes it for a 20-yard touchdown.
Attention. The Eagles have scored in the first quarter for the first time this season. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life. He hurdles a guy backwards. What am I watching?
Back goes Lawrence. He pumps, he fires. It is deflected, and it is intercepted by the Eagles on the deflection. Zach Bond. They hand the ball off to Barkley. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Barkley! And they get it. They push, and they shove, and they move the pile, and they do not get the extra points. But they're still up 16-0. Hurts this time. Fakes it. Keeps it. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Leaping Jalen Hurts. And they tried the tush push at the end of the first half. They push and they shove and
they're waving it off again.
Hurts comes back. He gives it off to Barkley. Barkley crawls along the ground. Fumbles the football. The Jaguars pick it up. They're running down the field and in for the touchdown goes Trayvon Walker. This time it is a sneak and it is a touchdown. It is a touchdown as Trevor Lawrence goes in on a one-yard quarterback sneak.
Now there's a reason for concern.
The push-tush, which has failed two straight times for extra points. Hurts, he is rolling, he is looking, he stops. He's coming back the other way. He is firing it, and it is incomplete. And the Eagles are in trouble.
So many misfires in this football game.
Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed.
My goodness.
I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's
Smitty.
In! He's in!
Oh, my
one-hand.
Goodness.
I don't know how he did it.
Smitty is unbelievable.
Back goes Lawrence. He's looking. He's going to run. He is in for the touchdown. It is 28-22. They will kick the extra point to make this a five-point game. 4:04 remaining to be played in this game. Lawrence back. Lawrence looks. Firing for the end zone. Intercepted!
intercepted the Kobe Dean. The Eagles are going to escape. The Kobe Dean saved the game.
And the Eagles have beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars 28-23.
And the Kobe Dean did save the game. What were you guys thinking when the Jaguars got the ball down to about the 10-yard line? Because I was
like, Lord have mercy, we're about to lose this game.
I was thinking, like, well, how could they have lost this game?
I was wondering about how much time we'd have left and the sort of game-winning drive we'd have to put together without A.J. Brown.
That's fair, because they would have been about a minute and a half to go. It wasn't over
but
if they
lost. But we didn't
have
A.J.
They did not.
That felt like a spot for, and I shouldn't even say this, but the way he's been playing lately, felt like a back-breaking Hurts interception on a game-winning drive. Opportunity.
That would have been fitting for the moment because it didn't feel like anything was going to go your way, to be honest.
So they had moved past the last 3 weeks of reminding me of last year. The first month felt a little bit like last year, and then I kind of forgot about that. And then they played well, right, for the month there or the 3 weeks. Yesterday felt like a 2023 Eagles victory when they had those like right to the end weird games where they're winning, but then they get through it. Well, it was. Look, the silver lining, Hugh, and the part that we need to feel good about is how well some of the players played. Jalen, again, turnover free. Saquon, amazing. And that we heard it there, the call by Merrill. We'll have him on with us at 11. That Devontae Smith catch back of the end zone, Hugh, was incredible. One-handed, and to get his feet in.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope, man. It was a lot of great plays that were made. There were moments in that game where guys stepped up, and they saved coaches' bacon. Because I can guarantee you, even though we got a win, and it's great to get a win, the conversation would have been totally different if we'd have lost the game the way
it was. Well, I'm looking right now at our call board, and most people are annoyed at Sirianni. They won the game. If they had lost, this would have been, you know, this would have been DEFCON 1 here. John is up next. What's up, John?
Hey, how are you?
John,
I'm John from Maryland. I'm John from Maryland. It's my first time calling.
Right. Well, we're happy to have you, John. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Thank you. I know when I called and I said something to Kyle, I want to retract that because I don't want to call anybody any names. You, I got your jersey. I love you. You are one hell of a player. I just want to say this about Sirianni. This analytics thing that he's using right now, can anybody answer this question? Isn't Jeffrey Lurie's son running the analytics department for the Eagles? And if he is he listening to this nitwit? Because I remember when Doug walked away from that kid when Doug was still coaching and the kid was trying to tell him to do something and Doug basically said, get out of my face. So why is this genius of a coach that we have listening to this kid? Because this analytics that we're playing right now really is horrible. It really is. It's hurting the team. I'm sitting there watching a game with my wife and I almost lost my marriage list. That's how bad it got for me. I mean, I was so ticked off that I couldn't even watch it anymore. I did watch it, but I mean, this guy, we're winning the freaking game. We're winning the game. Why do we have to use analytics when we got a 22-0 freaking lead? Please tell me that.
Well, John, he doesn't have to. I mean, the answer to your question, he doesn't have to. And you're right. Lurie's son is part of it, as is Howie and the whole front office. And, John, I don't think in general it's a bad idea to be aggressive or try to add extra points, especially if you're playing a good team that, you know, they can score a lot of points. But that's not what yesterday was. The Jaguars had no chance to score four times. Just take the easy way out yesterday. It's easy.
We had them on the ropes. We should have buried them. And I mean, the whole idea of like using analytics, and there has to be a time when, you know what, guys, when you got an easy win like this, don't use the stupid stuff because it's not working. And the other guy that just called and said when they went for the tush push after he almost got his Fred Johnson killed, and I love Freddie. I love that guy. I think he's a good kid. The whole idea is I'm going to be. You know, I almost felt like I'm not even going to see my next birthday getting so ticked off about these clowns. I mean, not the clown, the Eagles team.
Yeah.
I love the young guys.
Well, John, you're not the only one that felt that way yesterday. Yeah. I think the young players are playing well. Jalen's playing. Like, the team gave us so much to hope for yesterday. John, great phone call. Call again. But the coach, he just feels like he's unnecessarily injecting himself into the game. Like, just lay low. Like, do the simple thing. And I understand some of those, right? You get the penalty to move the ball from the two to the one. Mm-hmm. I guess I get how the numbers say go for two on that. The two plays, and we'll break them all down in a little bit. The two decisions to go for the fourth down instead of the field goals, those are the ones that are like, why? Well, what are we doing? There's just no reason for it. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the game yesterday? Happy with the win and the way some of the players, Saquon, Devontae, Jalen, the linebackers played, or annoyed at the head coach? I mean, I just get a sense early in the show. I know where this is going. 215-592-9494. On the other side, we'll hit on that. Sirianni plus his reaction and ours to one of the coolest plays you'll ever see in an NFL game made by Saquon Barkley. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking, still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Well, he did that. He did that to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
He did.
What am I watching?
I don't know, but it was awesome. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope.
Have you ever seen that?
Uh-uh. You know what's funny? I had the pleasure, like I said, I was on the sideline with Brian and both Brians, Dawkins and Westbrook. That's all everybody could talk about. Anybody could talk about that moment. And you know what the unfortunate thing about it? The coaches couldn't even enjoy it because you still have to coach the game.
Of course.
Like, you just saw something that has never been seen before. This man makes one guy miss and is backwards and turns around and jumps and makes, what, five more yards? That was phenomenal. That's one of those plays that people are going to be talking about all day today, and there's going to be some kids out there that are going to try to emulate that.
So I'm watching now. I just rewatched again. He got six more. He leapt backwards in the air and ended up getting six more yards from where he originally took off from. It's one of the most just insane plays. Like, the instinct to do it, because you're giving yourself up, right? You don't know what's going to happen there.
No.
And he did get smacked in the back as he came down from jumping in the air. It was one of the craziest plays I've ever seen any football player make. And you put it up there with some of Barry Sanders' runs, some of the great runs of any running back ever, because it's not just the athleticism, it's also the instinct of to know when to do it.
Yeah.
Sirianni after the game talking about how good of a play maybe he's ever seen.
Saquon's play, there's going to be – what I think is so cool, there's going to be – kids all over the country and all over Philadelphia, I really think about that, trying to make that play and talking about that play and like simulating that play as they play backyard football or peewee football. Like, they ain't gonna be able to make it because that play is, I think he's the only one in the world that could do that. I thought it was I'm speechless. Like, it was unbelievable.
It was the kind of play that leaves you speechless. So I heard this morning they were debating whether it was better than the Randall play against Bruce Smith in 1990.
When he got hit and he bounced off him.
He bounced off him. The other play I would throw in there, I think you were at the game, Kyle, 04, Donovan against the Cowboys.
Yeah, in Dallas.
I mean, just like individual.
It's unbelievable.
The athleticism. When a quarterback makes the play, they also have to finish it with a throw most of the time, so that kind of like boosts it up. But the part that got me about Saquon's is he spun first. So, like, it was a regular spin, then he kind of got his bearings, and then he leapt backwards.
I've never seen any NFL player ever do that. Like, the McNabb, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to diminish what Donovan McNabb did. I'm pretty sure we just saw Drake May pretty much do the same thing.
Like, run around
but in the
for
red
a while,
zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, that happens by in time. The Randall one, I was not around for that, to see that live. That one was epic, and probably at the time you're like, whoa, you never see a quarterback do that. So that one, I think, is sort of on the same level. The Saquon thing, like, I've seen running backs hurdle guys. I have never seen somebody spin, juke, turn backwards and clear the dude. I don't think he touched him at all.
I don't think he did either.
He completely cleared the guy. Like, never seen a play like that before. My jaw was on the floor.
I've watched this highlight like 50 times. I you know, usually I'm behind watching the game because we do the pregame show. I go home and I start from scratch on DVR. I had to wait, like I was extra behind last night because I just kept watching this play over and over. Remarkable. Donald's in Chester. Hey, Donald.
Donald.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, Donald. What's up, buddy?
The first thing I want to say is ever since Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon was here, I was just strongly convinced that any success that we had was from the coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And last night after the game, the first thing that came out of my mouth for the first time, because I'm tough on Howie, but the first thing came out of my mouth when I posted on Facebook was, thank God that Howie got talent on his team, because Sirianni just determined to make it difficult, you know. And I kind of feel bad for this guy because I like the one caller like John, the first time caller from Maryland. He hit it right on the nail. You know, in my opinion, I think that the reason why, you know, Lori and them guys like him is because of the analytics type of situation. And that was one of the reasons why Doug didn't want to be here and whatnot. And I feel bad for him because if it costs us anything serious, he's going to be the scapegoat.
Well, of course he is. Yeah, and Donald, I think there is something to that. I think there is something to he will go along with the way they want to play, but he's got to have some sort of feel for like, all right, it's the right time, it's not the right time. Yesterday it felt like there was no feel. It was just like he just closing his eyes and making a decision.
You are so right because he took 9 points off the board. That's 3 games in a row that you dominate a team. That you dominate a team that you're supposed to dominate, you know. So he took nine points off the board. So, you know, it's only a matter of time. But honestly, I still think that Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio will be the head coach and the assistant coach here.
Well, sometimes it feels like we should do that right now. I mean, Donald, good phone call. It's wild that the team could play as well as they did in spurts yesterday under the head coach, and yet this many people are annoyed at the head coach. It's very rare that happens because it is his team and his players, right? We could pull them all out. Saquon, Devontae, Jalen, Cooper DeJean, Dean, Bond, they all played well. Like, players keep playing well, and yet everyone's annoyed at the coach.
And this is not zero-sum for me. I think these mistakes can be fixed, and this is a week-to-week thing. But we have somewhere we're trying to be, and we know that if we want to get there, you have to do it a little bit better than we've been doing.
Yeah, so
that's the bottom line, and you're always striving to be better.
You are. I just keep getting concerned with him that there's going to be a moment where he costs them, and it costs them the season because he gets himself involved in this. I'm watching here. There's the Red Sox documentary, the 04 Red Sox comeback on Netflix. In the first episode, Grady Little was the manager of the Red Sox in 03, and he blew it in Game 7 by leaving Pedro Martinez in too long. It was a disaster. And I just like the sinking feeling that we got our own Grady Little here, that he's going to make a call or a decision in a game that's going to crush us, even though there's obviously talent here to make some noise. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. I will come back. Your phone calls. Merrill Reese will join us. Plus something we have to pass along, something awesome that's going to be going on during our show for the next few weeks. We'll announce that coming up. Big thing going on in the midday show. We'll tell you all about it next. Merrill Reese joins us on the other side, and a big, huge breakdown. We'll go decision by decision. We'll kind of rate them. Was this one acceptable? Was this one terrible? The Sirianni decision-making, we'll do it in a big, huge breakdown coming up in the 11 o'clock hour right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.